best of FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio presents Harriet Rose.
I'm joined by Post Malone.
Hi. First time I went to Wetherspoons, I was in Wolverhampton. It was like the first time I bought my legal beer. It was awesome.
I'm so sorry that that was your first.
No, listen, I love it. It's emblazoned in my mind.
So you've kind of got like a deep connection with Wetherspoons.
Wetherspoons is actually my life.
Was it inspiration for the album?
Yeah. I wrote it all at a Wetherspoons.
Have you eaten at a Wetherspoons?
No, I've never eaten there.
Okay.
Just drank. So you like dinner from Wetherspoons?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought you were talking shit.
Well, no, I am a little bit. It's shit.
But it's still good. Well, let's go.
Michael Payne and Marcel Somerville.
Kabaka Pyramid is our third and final guest of the day.
I just did my favorite thing for the first time on Sunday. I went to the Arsenal game.
Yeah! Gooner as well!
Gooner!
Of course it's Gooner! I had no doubt!
I saw the red and I was like
Tottenham?
This white guy was sitting on beside us and it's like everybody just excited at the trio. We're just hugging each other.
That's honestly, I think only two things can get you doing that. Yeah. Music and football.
Exactly. Yeah, for real. It brings people together.
Races,
everything. Yeah,
absolutely. Sure.
Callum McSwiggan.
Today I am joined by the absolute legends from Pussy Palace. It's a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you for having us.
You have a lot of people say, you know, oh, we have LGBT plus spaces, everything's fine, everyone's included. But I don't feel like they are, and I don't feel like they are inclusive enough.
It's like you're walking around holding your breath. And it was only until I went to Pussy Palace that I could actually like, oh, this is what breathing feels like.
Yeah.
But I wasn't umming and ahhing about what I was dressed, how I was presenting, and like what ramifications that would have for me.
Yeah, the evolution of Pussy Palace has really created that, like, oh, there's community.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
You're listening to FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio. FUBAR Radio presents
Access All Areas.
It's the one and only Michael Griffiths from Love Island, Michael!
Yes, it is.
Which couple were the loudest in bed?
Tommy and Molly. I slept next to them, and there's times I'm just looking at them like, can you stop? Like, I'm trying to sleep. Like, just let me fall asleep, then continue your business. I don't know what they were doing, but they were active.
My word!
Access All Areas. Every Thursday from 6 p.m. FUBAR Radio.
We have our second guest in, the very gorgeous Diane Buswell.
Thank you
Strictly.
Hello.
Thank you so much for coming in.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
This is obviously your busiest time of year, I should imagine.
It is, yeah,
but
very busy.
A little bit less busy by the unfortunate happenings of Dev and yourself going as early as you did.
Let's just say I've had a little bit of time on my hands.
Yeah.
I've been able to do some early Christmas shopping. Yes.
Already
in October. We see the positive to it.
It was a real shock, though. I mean, genuinely, I worked for a magazine, and on the Monday, we all went in, and we were all like, what is going on here? This is, like, really unusual. And then, actually, Catherine going as well, I think, was a bit of a surprise last week. It seems to be maybe
I
a
think,
season
do you
for
know what?
It.
I think it is literally just anyone's game. Mm. Like, everyone has a really good week, and then they might have a week where they're not as strong, and it's just the way it goes. Like, yeah. So it makes it for an interesting show, though.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
But you could tell that you guys were very disappointed, I think, when it happened. What was going through your mind at that minute in that?
I mean, I was gutted. You know, I'm more gutted for Dev, to be honest, because he gets one chance at this, and you kind of feel very responsible at that moment. Mm. You're like, oh, what could I have done better?
Because you guys come up with the routines, don't you, and things like that as well.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So you kind of put all the blame on yourself straight away, and you think, oh, you know, if only I did this and that. But it's not the case. You know, they do. We both did as best as we could have done.
And it was a good routine.
Yeah, I was really happy with it. It was different, you know, and sometimes that's a risk on Strictly to do something a little bit different. You know,
that's
music was maybe a bit different to what you would normally hear as a cha-cha. But, yeah, we took that risk and, yeah, unfortunately, it didn't really go our way that night. But
you're still in the show.
Still in the show. And, still get to do the pro routines every week. Yeah, I'm obviously gutted for Dev because, you know, he was really loving it, as they all do. They all get there and they all love it so much.
So different.
Seeing anyone go is really hard.
Yeah.
It was just, you know, a lot earlier than what I guess we expected to go. But
Do you think that anything was fixed? Because obviously I've seen a lot of papers saying there potentially could be like a fixed element.
Yeah, I have. Yeah, all. Obviously we see all that as well. But no, absolutely not. Yeah. Like Strictly is such a well-oiled machine, and I think that, you know, the way everything's done is 100% fair. Yeah. And it, like I said, this is the aim of the show. You know, some weeks you may have, you know, our first three dancers were incredible. And still the cha-cha was great, but it just, you know, obviously didn't score as high as our other dancers, which has put us into a really awkward position on the leaderboard.
Yeah.
You know, which means that you are in the risk of being in that bottom two. And that's just how it goes. But yeah, no, 100%, bumps. There's no fixing in the show at all. It really is 100% fair.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
That's just the way it goes.
And there's not anything to say that you couldn't be back dancing with one of the celebrities again after what happened with Kevin and Alex last weekend.
Yeah, like, I mean, yeah, exactly. I had to think then. It was a crazy old week last week.
Yeah, really, really like dramatic week for Strictly, right? What did you make of what Kevin managed to pull out of the bag with Alex?
Oh, look,
he had 45 minutes to learn a routine.
I didn't watch it.
It was, you need to, he managed to learn. He made some mistakes, I mean, and he said that straight away. But in 45 minutes, he managed to learn a full routine, didn't he?
Yeah, he really did. He was, we have this thing called a star bar where we're all sat there and we just see him start sort of whipping out the moves. And he literally just learned it in like a small little area with a video in his hand. And it's incredible, like a true professional. Well done, Kevin.
He must have some good long-term memory, because if that was me, I would have been like one step and I'm like, yeah, okay, I'm done now.
But Jonathan, the dancers, this is the whole, if they were rubbish at learning the routines, they probably wouldn't be doing their jobs very well.
But I mean, also to Alex, like that was incredible for Alex to be able to go out there and feel as confident as she did, knowing that her partner has just learnt it. Like, you know, something for the celebs, you're learning with that particular person the whole week, and then for it to just be like, oh, okay, you're going to do it with someone else now. That's scary.
Yeah, yeah, 100%.
You know, even for a professional, that's scary. So, yeah, I mean, hats off to both of them.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
They both did an incredible job.
What are you hoping for the rest of the series for you? What are you going to be up to? What's going on?
I mean, it's amazing. I still get to go every single week and support everyone else, because, you know, it is actually so cool standing up there watching everyone on that Saturday night. It, like, they always blow me away. But I also get to do all the pro numbers, so that's cool. You know, there's the Christmas special coming up. Hopefully I'll be a part of that. So yeah, they keep us really busy.
Yeah.
And you know, it's still so magical going in there every weekend.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, I've been a couple of times in the audience.
To be a part of it.
I
want to
be in the audience.
It's really fun. It's a long
so
night
fun.
Though.
It
it's
is
a
long.
People
it
don't
is.
Appreciate how long it is. You
yeah.
can be sitting down on your bum for 5 or 6
yeah,
hours.
It's a really long show. Yeah,
especially in the beginning
when you're in there. Yeah.
So I wanted to ask you, you're dating Joe, and
yes.
he was your dance partner last year, right?
Yes, he was.
So I always wanted to ask, this is Megan.
Go on.
Who put on who first?
It was one of those things, like, obviously during the show, we were honestly so busy with learning a routine every week. And we were lucky enough to make it all the way to the final. And, you know, he was another one that had great potential.
Yeah.
And when I see someone with
really
potential,
well.
when I see someone with potential, I'm, you know, it's not that I'm hard on them, but I put in the time and the effort.
Yeah.
And so we were just working so incredibly hard. And it wasn't until after the series that we were like, you know, oh my gosh, we really did enjoy spending all this time together.
That is so cute.
We ended up, you know, being together. And it's, the best thing that's ever happened.
Where was your first day?
Where was our first date?
You probably had them, but didn't really think of them as first dates.
So it was, I think actually, no, we went away after the show to like a little treehouse thing with his sister and his sister's boyfriend. And that was kind of, I guess we could class that as like the first
little
proper
first
date.
That
yeah.
is so, cute.
So it was really cute.
How are you guys doing now?
Yeah, really good. Really good. We, yeah, we're having a great time still.
Do you two still dance together?
We do.
Do you actually?
We do, all the time.
Like to your own routines that you did.
Literally,
That is so adorable.
Actually, today Joe was actually looking on his TikTok. He's like, you need to teach me this TikTok dance. I'm like,
I love
that. So we were stood there in the kitchen, like, trying to work out this little dance together. And he gets so, like, into it if I teach him a dance. He's, like, really concentrating.
Because he's good at it, right?
He's really good.
And now he's doing
super talented.
West End.
He's doing the West End.
That's amazing.
So very proud of him. Like, honestly, when he came to me at the start, he was actually quite shy. And like to see him now, it's like a whole.
It's like a natural.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
really cute.
It is very, and it's cute that it's managed to succeed outside of the show because
exactly,
I think you can imagine a circumstance in which, once you're not working together all the time, it might dissipate a bit. Are you guys living together?
We are living together. Right, okay. Yeah. So
this is actually so cute.
This is what you need to be.
I know.
We need to get you onto Strictly. Jen.
Yeah, get onto Strictly. I'll meet my future husband there because you know what? I like it when a man can dance. So if a man can dance, absolutely, yeah, get me right in there. Do you know what I mean? And then I'll move in with them.
Is that like what's the word? Like a game changer for you? If they can dance, you're like, oh, okay, now I'm interested.
Yeah, like they can dance. What?
Because
bring
it's
so
funny because when you're professional, you might end up married to someone who can't dance or something. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, which would be really it's not been on my list. You don't have to be able to dance, but you know it certainly helps. It does certainly help.
I'd be able to hit the beat at least.
Yeah, exactly.
You have to be able to do a full routine. Yeah.
As soon as you do that little, and then bring them in.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Do you think people? Because obviously, if you just go out, if you're at a wedding disco or something, you're not going to be. You know, doing a whole routine. Do people expect you to sometimes?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, and I always do the opposite. I'm always like just pretending that I can't dance. Oh yeah, and they're like, "Aren't you a dancer?" I'm like, "No, where did you hear that from?"
Absolutely not.
What's will you be on Strictly next year? Is that your intention?
I mean, I would love to be. I'd love to be on there for many years to come. It is the best show on TV, and it's the best show to be a part of. But we never know from year to year. Whether we're going to be back or not, so yeah, fingers crossed that I am back next year. But yeah, we have no idea at this stage.
Yeah, of course, because this season still hasn't finished.
Yeah, obviously.
Charlton, who's our competition winner, who's in with us this evening, has a little question for you.
Oh, go on.
He wants to know where you got that you weren't able to claim the title last year, and did it give you more motivation this year?
I wasn't gutted because Stacey, great friend of ours, was so happy for her, and obviously Kevin, and anyone in that final could have taken that glitter ball home. Like, everyone was so, so great. For me, it was just more about getting Joe to the final.
Yeah.
That was like a real amazing achievement for us. So standing there in the final was surreal enough as it was. Like, winning it, yeah, I mean, would have been the icing on the cake, but it wasn't like the end all or be all.
No. Of it. Do you know what's funny now about you guys is that your what was it you did Take On Me to?
Oh, Jive.
That
was our first dance.
Whenever I hear Take On Me, yeah. I always think
you
of
always
that Jive
now. Jive.
I think
love
of
that.
Joe doing that.
Yeah,
that head thing.
The little
only you would think of that.
Fortnite move that we chucked in there.
Anyone else just enjoys the song, and you're sitting there thinking dance moves with it.
Yeah, because I'm literally a Strictly obsessive. So, you know, like, this is what happens to you when
I don't really have time. I haven't really watched TV in a long time because I've been so busy. But it just all of this stuff just makes me want to watch it. It just makes me want
to
just start, like,
it is one of the most feel good channels. Yeah, on,
like it really is. Like, even being a part of it, you know, like, people always say, is it as magical as what they say? But it really is. Like, the emotions that you feel from Strictly, like, I mean, that's what you saw when I left the show. I was beside myself because the emotion is so, so real. You never put that on. Like, it's just, once you start, you invest everything into it. Yeah,
I mean,
you really do. And your celebrity does as well.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for coming in this evening, Diana.
Thank you, guys.
Really appreciate it.
FUBAR Radio presents
Callum McSwiggan.
I'm very lucky, very fortunate, in fact, today, because I am joined in the studio by the stunning, the gorgeous Lucy and the Mayor. One of the things that comes up a lot with, like, bi visibility, etc., in general, is that there can be quite a bit of, I don't want to say hate, but, like, there's almost, like, negativity that comes from within the community.
Absolutely.
As well as outside of it. Is that something that you've ever experienced personally?
Oh, speak to any bisexual about dating within the LGBT community. It's incredible how many times I've gone on a date with someone who identifies as lesbian, and the second I say I'm bisexual, they're
really
over it. They don't want anything to do with me.
That's utterly absurd to me. I can't fathom that. Is it?
It's a thing.
What is their logic for doing
Great
that?
Great question.
Yeah, you're like, I don't
Great
know.
Great question.
Callum McSwiggan.
Every Wednesday from 6 p.m. FUBAR Radio.
Today, I am joined by British pop singing sensation.
Oh, goodness.
Jamie Hannah.
Shush.
So tell me, walk me through everything you're doing right now. So obviously, you make music.
I do indeed. So initially, I was trained in opera, but I pulled out of that. And then I started to make music for about a year. I've released two singles. One of them was a duet with Boy George. And then we kind of went on this massive spiral whirlwind of a journey together. Did a couple of shows together, and now kind of just making my own music and trying to kind of like create a sound for myself and an identity for myself without the magnificent George.
That's incredible, and I love that, you know, we're like 2 minutes into the show and you just casually say, oh yeah, you know, just did a song with Boy George. No big deal.
Oh, goodness, somebody give me a slap.
I want to go back a little bit. You trained in opera.
Yes, initially.
That's insane. That's crazy.
Yeah, it was a bit of a weird one for me as well. I feel like I was reflecting on it earlier today on my Instagram, and I was listening to some countertenors, like some arias, because I was getting incredibly stressed with like 300 emails on my computer, and I was kind of like, I just didn't want to meditate. I didn't want to kind of like breathe. I just was like, what is going to calm me down? And actually going onto YouTube and listening to some of like Handel's arias and just countertenors, which I've been familiar with during my studies, kind of like brought me back down to earth, and it was really stunning. Ugh.
It must be really kind of helpful and beneficial to kind of have all of that knowledge around music, because I'm not saying that, you know, every musician doesn't know music and doesn't know the ins and outs of it, but I think it adds a little something special, I would say.
Well, I mean, everybody's got their USP, so I guess that is my USP, I guess, but I mean, a lot of people have been trained in music. I mean, it's not always good to know the rules. That's why I kind of wanted to leave classical music, because there were so many rules and regulations. You were like, actually, it's not it's
yeah, like, fuck the rules.
Yeah. I remember like singing lessons, they would say to kind of like do an R vowel but think an F vowel.
Yeah,
so it's kind of like you would always be like in this dilemma, like, you know what, fuck it, I just want to do my own rules and do my own things. Definitely.
That's amazing. I'm so excited to hear, and we will definitely be playing it here as well. I want to talk a little bit more about you and your thoughts about like your place within the LGBT plus community. Mm-hmm. Because I feel like I know that you have some quite strong thoughts on like the kind of like the pressure and like the influencer culture and all of that.
Mm.
So like what are your, as an putting yourself out there as an LGBT plus person, what are your thoughts on like the pressures that surround that?
Oh goodness, it's always difficult when you like offload your opinions on it when other LGBT people are listening, because it's kind of like, I feel like they're gonna like fine pick everything you say.
Yeah.
But so this is just my opinion, and I don't want to, if anything comes off offensively, I just want to apologize in advance, because myself, what I really really struggle with is that you're in the closet for such a long time, and you have this secret that you keep for yourself, keep from your family, your loved ones, and then you suddenly become part of this community. And like, with respect to all the Londoners, it's somehow so saturated in London, and everyone's kind of like competing with one another.
Yeah.
Kind of like striving for this unobtainable perfection, which nobody can, the perfect boyfriend, the perfect Instagram, the perfect job, the perfect eyes, the perfect body. And really, it's just not realistic. And I mean, I think people are really coming around to it now, and I feel like it's kind of disintegrating, and people are kind of engaging a lot more with authenticity, being authentic. But I mean, daily, I still can like look at my, I would like contemplate or look at my Instagram. I'm like, is that kind of like, am I posting things because I'm doing it for my fans and my music, or am I posting it because I want to go on a date with someone? Are they going to look at me and think I look hot? Do you know what I mean? It's kind of like, is it a dating app or is it a method of kind of promoting my music?
Yeah.
And it's kind of like a really weird contrast, which community is really supportive of one another. And I feel like a lot of the LGBTQ+ community have really got behind my music, especially with George being attached to it.
Yeah.
You have little blips. It's kind of like a more personal aspect rather than the more musical.
I think you touched on like some really important things there though. Like I definitely agree that I feel like there is this competition, and it's not like anyone's, you know, out there to get anyone else or be better than anyone else, but we all feel this kind of overwhelming desire to be incredible. And I've read a lot about this, and you know, the theories that stems from growing up and not being able to be yourself, and so in your adult life you then feel like you have to constantly strive to be the best.
Yeah,
but it is something
to be validated, and
be validated. And I feel like, you know, I often start like saying like bad things about social media. I do love social media. Social media is my job. It's how I've grown my platform. It's how I'm able to do everything that I'm doing now. But at the same time, I do think social media is responsible for a lot of negative things as well.
Yeah.
And it's certainly, you know, I certainly feel a kickback to my mental health sometimes, and that constantly like looking at other people and being like, why is my life not as great as theirs? Why do I not have like amazing white pearly teeth or like perfect blonde hair or
and
all
now,
of these
I mean,
things?
I've been advised to post a lot more because I'm not really that present on my socials as much as I should be as a musician, but I'm like, I'm really struggling with being authentic. Like, I'm myself, this is just a thing I've done over the past few weeks. I'm struggling to be like authentic, and because I don't want to like, I went to Corfu for a few days. I don't want to kind of like shove it in people's faces when they were in winter that it was, I had the blue sea in front of me. Like, I don't want to kind of like have that perfect, I put the odd one up, but I don't want to have that perfect picture of me looking incredible and then put another one up. Because I mean, I've already got one up, so I don't need to put another like five.
Sure. Yeah, yeah.
But then it's kind of like, keep posting pictures. And I'm like, oh my God, what am I going to post? Like a picture of my shepherd's pie. Like, yeah.
It is difficult when it's genuinely a place where you want to share your life and share your life with your friends and your family and the people you really care about, whereas at the same time it's expected that you use it as a channel for promotion. And I kind of feel, I often feel in this place where I'm like, oh, I really want to share that, this lovely thing that I've done, and it's like, but it doesn't really fit in with maybe my public brand, or there may be not a point to sharing it. And I almost like second guess myself. So I feel like it's tricky to balance.
It's so peculiar, right? And it's like not like it is spoken about, but it's just like everybody's got this kind of like hidden feeling about it themselves. That kind of like, oh my God, should I post that picture of me dancing with my towel in my bathroom? But like, I look kind of fit. And that chocolate cake that I baked last night, that looked so good. But like, always. I don't know if it fits the kind of like Louis Vuitton bag aesthetic.
Please always post the chocolate cake and always post the naked towel photo. Those two things, we need.
Honey,
them.
I'm gonna do it this evening.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much. That will make us all very, very happy.
And the Louis Vuitton bag, for goodness sake. Let's throw it in there at once.
I definitely have as well sometimes.
Kill three birds in one.
I definitely have where I want to like, just to keep things to myself privately as well. Like I wanna go to my friend's party and not post anything about it. But, you know, I feel like people expect to know every detail of your life, which isn't a very interesting thing.
It's peculiar.
But I guess this is only going to grow for you as you get bigger and more people want to hear your music, want to see your life.
Become an international pop star,
Become an international sensation.
One,
Which I think will absolutely happen.
Baby steps. I like your optimism. Thank
you.
Yes,
no, it's optimism based in reality. is
You're
what
too kind.
And so what are your, obviously, support take that at Wembley, but what are your other goals for your career?
Get that perfect picture with the Louis Vuitton bag and the chocolate cake. That's definitely something. But for my career, I gotcha. I know, just keep collaborating with loads of different artists, make beautiful music, hopefully get some money from it, perform, and just create some like new music, like stuff that kind of like breaks boundaries, cross genres. I don't know.
Are there any dream people you'd love to collaborate with aside from Gaga? I feel like that's a given.
Cool. It's like Andrea Bocelli like meets Lady Gaga at once. Like, we do like a trio together or something like that. Who's on like the Royal Opera House stage?
Yeah.
And kind of like somebody really abstract. I don't know. No, Joyce DiDonato, Elton John, and me. I don't know. Just like something that was like so. I mean, it's probably been done before, but Jamie Hanna's going to do it again.
I like it though. I feel like you don't go for the obvious cookie cutter. You're going for, you know, trying to mix it up, trying to make it more interesting, trying to do things that haven't been
done
before.
Well, I think what Ed Sheeran did in his previous album was remarkable, and him collaborating with Andrea Bocelli and just all these kind of like cross-genre things were remarkable, and that's what made that album so kind of phenomenal. Let's do a little bit more. Jamie Hanna twist, not the Ed Sheeran one. Who's Ed Sheeran?
Well, that's incredibly exciting, and I can't wait to see what you go on to do.
FUBAR Radio presents Ian
Molesworth, joined now by Kadeem Ramsey. So we're talking about Top Boy, which Nat's a bit obsessed with, and you come in with branded Top Boy gear. Are you contractually obliged to do that?
No, I just like it.
You wear it well.
Yeah, it's nice.
Yeah,
I just feel like wearing it.
Nice hoodie.
The only show I watch currently is Top Boy. I've been watching Top Boy over and over.
I love that you watch your own show. That's really great.
No, that's not only it. I've been watching.
Are you going for your Top Boy tattoo after you've done this interview? Right across your forehead.
Scared of tattoos.
Are you really?
Yeah,
are you?
I don't want to be getting a tattoo and the guy says, whoops, that's one thing I don't want to hear.
Nick Helm and Nathaniel Metcalf's fan club.
We're joined in the studio now by one of my favourite comedians, Rhys James. I always say in taxis and stuff like that, I always say I'm a writer.
Yeah, me too. Have I told you this story before?
No.
The time I got in a taxi, and I always used to do that writer because you don't want to have the conversation with the taxi driver about being a comedian.
But the follow-up question is just you can't get out of, which is, what do you write?
Yeah, yeah.
I write sitcoms.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. So I was in this taxi. He goes, what sort of stuff do you write? And I went, comedy. I thought, oh, fuck, mate. Yeah, and then he went, oh, what type of comedy do you write? And I said, satire. And then, and then the taxi driver said, you know what they say? Satire is the lowest form of wit.
Joey Page.
Jim Sturgis joins us in the studio. Do you find when you've been, like, it's obviously rehearsals and filming and that takes a real long time. Do you sometimes find the traits of these characters seeping into your life?
There was a film I did called London Fields where I was covered in tattoos. I was playing like a really unpleasant character in that film and it started to rub off on me and I was sort of walking around thinking I was probably a lot harder than I am in real life and someone nearly ran me over in a car and I was a little too quick to fucking offer him out.
I come out of this studio on a Wednesday going, I'm well good at this, and then it's like, I might get out of my way, I'm getting on the bus.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
You're listening to FUBAR Radio.
Joey Page.
Mini Mentions, welcome to the studio.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Can I get you to just do a little... Can you just advertise the show quickly for us?
Joe Page is kind of tight.
Joe Page is my real name. I've added a showbiz Y.
That's right. Why would you do that? Joe Page?
It's too late.
I think you should drop the Y.
Yeah.
Joe Page suits the mustache, too.
Okay.
Yeah, Joe Page.
Turn the page, Joe.
And the suit. Yeah, I think Joe, man.
Joe Page!
I've already done...
Joe Page.
Made a lot of posters with Joey Page on.
Hey, this is Michael from Mini Mansions, and you're listening to Joe Page on FUBAR Radio every Wednesday, 2 p.m.
I'm very excited to be talking to Kelsey and Nick from Local Natives. Welcome to the show, gentlemen.
Letterman was fun. I had an interesting situation at the end of our set. He's like, oh, where are you guys from? And here, I'll go over here so like it makes sense. So I was just like, Silver Lake! He's like, cool, thanks. And then he leaves.
Maybe to make you feel better, we'll do the reverse. So I'm going to get you to ask me where I'm from.
Yeah, but where are you from?
Bexley Heath! Bro, you got to represent where you're from.
Yeah.
John Grant, welcome to the show.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, Joey.
Do you feel you are appreciated enough in the music business? You're like a genius in music, so...
Thank you for the fantastic compliments. I don't feel particularly great at what I do, so it's always nice to hear that. I don't know, I don't feel like I'm allowed to have an opinion about that. I think I'm probably getting what I can handle. I wonder if I would be able to take the kind of attention that some people get.
Band of Skulls, welcome into...
Thank you very much.
Russell and Emma, how are you doing? I'm sure you were far too busy to be aware of this, but it was pancake day. How are your pancaking skills? Are you any good at making them? Are you any good at flipping them?
I do a good American pancake.
Baking soda?
Dad's recipe. It's amazing.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That's the secret, though, isn't it, to make them rise?
In the fridge for a bit, just to chill.
That's an extra thing that will help me next time I make them.
Every Wednesday from 2 p.m. Yeah.
You're listening to FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio. FUBAR Radio.
It's time to welcome my next guests, Jim and Mairead from Lion and Coffee Records. Welcome to the show, guys.
Hi.
How's it going?
Really good, thanks.
So I've got so many things that I want to ask you. It's so cool to have somebody in, or a pair of people in, that they're in the music industry, but it's not just me chatting to bands. I know, obviously, Mairead... You managed?
I managed.
Managed, yeah, Florence and the Machine.
Yeah.
Chris, your husband, was on drum duties in that.
Yes.
And then you and Jim, between you, you run Lion Coffee and Records,
yeah.
Which, when you've had a couple of beers, is extremely difficult to get them three words in the right order. As I've done a few times. And I've been to Clapton One. I actually went in your brand new one just... on Saturday, because looking for a last minute extra gift for my wife.
Did you find it?
Well, do you know what I was after specifically?
Go on.
I was after, because she's got one of the patches.
The lion patches?
Yeah, lion patches. So I was like, oh, I'll get another one then, but they only had. But, because I was
we
literally looking
updated
for.
The patches. Just a little throw like, in just, their gift.
Yeah, chuck it in there. Yeah. So I know you've got a new store opening up and all the rest of it, but where do you guys want to start actually with all of this?
I guess. Maybe like how we started as a record shop,
yeah,
when it came about. So we started Lion 5 years ago, and my husband Chris, who was a musician, he had it as a kind of a bar hangout with his mates, basically,
right.
And he sold some records, and what
was it called then?
It was called Hayden and Wilds.
Okay,
so he had it with a couple of friends, and then a few of his friends had to. They couldn't do it anymore. They had some family stuff, or like, so I came in. I was like, come on, let's turn this into a proper business.
Yeah,
let's do this. Come on, Chris, let's do this properly. So we named it Lion Coffee Records after our son. And that's where we...
I mean, you put a lot of pressure on him to have a big future with a name like
Lion. I know. Arlo Lion is his name. We did it as his middle name.
Yeah.
So we sort of, you know, and we wanted to create a space that we could hang out in, have bands that we knew to come and play, but it feel quite intimate.
Mm.
And actually, if I'm totally honest, I didn't want anyone back at my house anymore because I had a kid. So it was actually quite a nice excuse to have a little spot that you were like, oh, let's hang out here instead.
Now you have a room to play.
Oh, we have a room to play. And it was, so that, you know, and my background, I started out as a DJ. So I've always like loved records, got a very extensive vinyl collection. And it kind of was a way of me not buying any more records to have my own shop. Sort of scratch right. that itch
so
for me
do
as
you
well.
Ever find like a sort of boozy landlord would drink the stock? Do you find yourself taking a moment with you?
It's so hard. Well, when there's something brilliant coming in, I'll be like, all right, get an extra one. And then when it's something really good, if there's only one left and I haven't got it, it like sometimes kills me not to take it. But I'm like, oh, it's got to be for the shop. But yeah. that passion is always there when ordering. Great. And it's,
yeah. Yeah, I'd never be able to because I've got quite a, I'm sure compared to yours, quite a fledgling vinyl collection. But like,
but it's,
I'm
never,
such
it's never ending.
I'm such a sucker. Like, I'm exactly who they're marketing at when they say coloured vinyl.
Oh,
I'm
yeah.
like,
yeah, yeah.
oh, new, where is it?
I know.
Or the new, the master, or the extended version. No. Yeah. But records are a nice thing.
Yeah, of course.
They're nice, aren't they?
And you met Chris, your husband, through the Florence and the Machine.
I did.
Kind of thing, because he was doing the drums, and then and
yes.
now you've
we
got
spent
a
far too much time together.
So, but right, so I'm kind of going a little somewhere with this, right? And now you're in the Box Park, right?
Yes.
I met my wife at the Box Park, right?
No way.
And you're both very creative people, obviously.
Yes.
So and you know you've got. Is it just one kid you got?
One and another one on the way,
oh,
actually.
Congratulations.
Yeah, every child, we open a new record shop, it seems. So every 5 years, we're going to have new record shop, new another baby.
And are you gonna change the name of the
we
second
might.
Store?
Yeah, we're not sure what her name is yet, but yeah, maybe we will. We'll sneak it in there
a
somehow.
A new EP.
Yeah.
Yeah, so just any advice for us as a fledgling couple that have got maybe some things in common, being from the Box Park where you now are.
To keep things going,
happy, basically.
Make sure you make really good playlists for each other.
Make sure
music is like a big feature in your house.
Do you live together?
Yeah.
Do you have a record player?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's it.
You know what to do.
Yeah. Try not to work together that much.
Yeah. Okay. And so, Jim, you're the manager.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about the day-to-day of what it's like to run a record shop, because, I mean, it sounds amazing, but I'm sure there's things where you're like, oh, this is really cool about it. This is something that you wouldn't imagine is quite stressful about it.
I guess day-to-day, there's a lot of variables, you know? There's a lot going on, you know? It's funny, my friend Josh bought me a second-hand copy of High Fidelity as a gift, as in, you know, you're involved with a record store, which is pretty sweet. Yeah, I mean, it's particularly at this moment in time, having just opened the second Lion store in Box Park, it's obviously, there's a lot of, you know, we're still touching up the walls as well as stocking the shelves.
Yeah, right.
Jim
you know?
Actually helped build it. Like, Jim and Chris built the shop.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, we were masquerading as builders for a good 2 weeks, and it was a lot of fun.
You were really good at it. Yeah. Not that I was doubting you, but you were both
really
good.
Yeah, I've never timed before. I've never grouted before, but there you go.
There
you
have.
Know? It's,
but better to try it out on a shop than in your own bathroom.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I would say.
But day to day, I mean, it's an education in itself, because as a music lover, you're actually spending your day amongst literally thousands of wonderful works of music, works of art. And it's great to talk to customers about what they're into, what they're seeking.
Does it ever get heated? Do you ever someone come in and go like, you should be stuck at this, or you're like, you've just got terrible taste in music.
I think we're too kind for that, but yeah, that's almost like in the High Fidelity sense, it's like, I'm looking for such and such an actor, like, can you please leave, just get out. Yeah.
And I went to one of the album launches that you do at the shop. So I went to Crush Beaks.
Oh, great. Yeah. Oh, that was a good one.
Yeah. I was really very drunk because I've been to the football. So by the time I got there, I was already quite drunk.
We'd heard you were dancing up the front.
Yeah, I was dancing up the front. and then just bought, I think, all of their EPs.
Brilliant.
The sweet tooth of being drunk and being like, oh, they're right in front of me.
You've
out.
Got the
I
formula.
Love them.
Yes.
Yeah, it's because you do quite strong pale ales and things.
we're known for an espresso martini.
Yeah,
all
amazing.
Espresso martini.
Yeah.
We'll get you buying those records.
Yeah, that's right. At lightning speed. And I've actually gigged in the Clapton one. You didn't, but somebody had a comedy night there.
What was it? Who? It was called Pickles.
Yeah, Pickle Boy. It's called Wolfie. My friend Luke. a big beard. He ran it in there for a little while.
Oh, cool. That must have, like, was that like, really early on?
Yeah, really early on.
Yeah.
And I went and did one. And that was nice.
Great.
I think
there's
about six people there, but
that I always found
because
like
that but that's no slight on the shop, that's on the comedy.
But what's nice Intimate. About the space in Clapton, we're actually about to refurb it, but if like 6 or 10 people came, it's a nice intimate space. It's okay if there isn't many people.
Absolutely.
You still have
a nice
gig, and like that's what we always wanted to encourage. That it was always welcoming. It didn't have to be packed out.
Mm.
That if it was a small crowd, it was just intimate, and
it was,
you felt comfortable playing.
Oh yeah, 100%.
Or telling really funny jokes.
Right. Yeah.
Or
it's always got a
jokes.
Atmosphere. It's true. You could be in there on your own with somebody else on a date or whatever, having a coffee on a in the morning time, and it's still got that atmosphere.
Yeah, because that's how we met. Actually, Jim was like a punter, and he has. He's a performing artist, says Video Blue, and he's played at the shop numerous times.
Oh, nice.
And we, that's how we met. Couldn't get you out of the place, did we?
I know. Just kept coming back.
Yeah, well, it's a little it's a little bit of a walk from Hoxton to Clapton. So, but the Shoreditch Box Park one, I literally jog past it when I go to football every Sunday morning in the Power League. So I'll be in.
No excuses.
Yeah, I'll be in.
Great.
Foo Bar Radio.
Hello and welcome.
My name is Callum McSwiggan.
I've been with a fair few guys, and I've never undressed a guy and gone, don't like that dick, ever. Been with all different sizes and shapes, and I've liked every one. I've never been in a situation where I've been like, I don't like that, I don't want that. So, you know, I'm into a mushroom head.
Callum McSwiggan.
Every Wednesday from 6 p.m.
Welcome everyone to Access All Areas.
It's Lizzie Cundy.
And Stephen Lang. Great to have you.
We're in a mood. I've got the one and only Andrew Stone. Yes, the man himself. We love him.
I got on really well with Romeo out of So Solid Crew. It's ironic because he's very butch and I'm quite camp and, you know, he
talks like this.
He's
you
very
know.
Sweet. He came to see my... I was in a musical, do you know that? Wax
no.
the musical.
Which one?
No, Wax the musical. Okay.
No acting there then.
It's like... boom, boom.
Access All Areas. Every Thursday from 6 p.m.
FUBAR Radio.
You're listening to FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio presents Michael Payne and Marcel Somerville.
Our guest is Mr. Williams.
Yes, brother.
How you doing, brother? You alright?
Yes, up. Yeah, man.
More
nice.
Weed. Definitely.
Do you still actually smoke? Do you know what I mean?
Actually, yeah.
Yeah?
Do you think that it also helps creativity?
1,000,000%.
Do Definitely. You really?
100,000,000%. It even makes me good at maths.
Definitely.
Yeah.
100,000,000%.
Michael Payne and Marcel Somerville. Every Wednesday from 4 p.m. FUBAR Radio.
Our next guest needs no introduction, but we're going to give him one anyway. He's got a name that you could pronounce wrong, but we know him so well that we get it perfect every time. It's the one and only Jelani Blackburn.
What's going on, sir?
How
you doing? Yeah, I'm good, man. It's nice to be back here.
Yeah, man. It's good to have you back, man. It's been
Thank
a while,
you,
isn't it? It's nice. Fill us in.
You,
like, what's been going on musically, man? There's been lots of releases that I've seen.
Yeah.
Which we've played,
active,
which
man.
We have played.
Exactly,
all of them on the show.
Yeah, no, it's been busy. A lot's changed just in terms of the energy that I had. And I think last time I saw you, I was kind of on the verge of that.
Yeah.
And everything was starting to shift a little bit. And I was just feeling active. Mm-hmm. And then I just started putting in a lot of work and a lot of time. And I changed a lot of stuff around. Me and now I'm really happy.
Yeah, you seem it, good. Man.
Yeah.
You seem it, man. So talk to us about the new music.
You know what? I feel like the best way to describe it is it's the most honest that I've been. It was quite hard. I had to dig deep and scratch a couple painful things to get there. But yeah, it is. It's honesty and energy, really. And that's what I feel like is reflecting out of it.
And can we expect a lot of live activity from you?
Yeah, come on. I'm playing. I'm playing on the 21st headline show in London.
Sick. Where?
See Bright Arms.
That's mad. It's a nice little venue, man.
Yeah,
downstairs, basement, nice
it's
low
good.
Ceiling. It's
yeah,
cool.
Yeah. It's good. I've seen some good stuff there, and I just
same.
Help yourself, please.
Yeah, please.
Get your hands off my sweets, man. What you playing?
We've even got some infusionist gin.
Would you like some gin? Some candy cane gin.
Some candy cane gin.
It is nice. Should we get a glass for Jelani, please?
Well, do you know what's funny? My mouth already tastes like gin. So I'm slightly already on the same.
Why? Because you're drinking to it. Why does it taste like gin?
What's your poison when it comes to gin? What's your gin of choice?
I don't know. Do you know what? There was a time in my life where I drank a lot of gin, but then I moved away from it.
They say it depresses you, don't it?
It does. It's the juniper.
Does it?
No?
Is that true?
That's why they used to call it Mother's Ruin.
Yeah,
it is. Isn't it the same plant as heroin? Yeah.
Is that true? Gin comes from the opium plant.
It comes from a similar. It comes from the same family tree.
Right.
I'm pretty sure it does.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's how you make gin. And it's also the only synthetic alcohol. So it's man-made, but everything else just comes from natural processes.
Ah,
yeah.
Even more interesting.
So I don't know which
Dutch courage info there.
Do you like 7-Up? I'm going to put some 7-Up.
I like 7-Up.
I don't know, but you have to check these things.
When was the last time you had a 7-Up?
Do you know what? Like, the last time, weirdly, was maybe a couple months ago with a Jackie Potato. But
combination, bro.
I love that.
The combination was mad.
I love that, mate. The detail, the attention to detail in that sentence.
But Jackie Potato.
Most people would just go, oh, I can't remember.
Well, it was a moment. I was like, nah, this needs that.
Yeah, no, I hear that. That's an old school meal. I love that. Jackie Potato and a 7-Up. I can't remember the last time I bought a 7-Up. Yeah, this is the first time I've had a 7-Up in ages.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They're good. They're right for the right moment.
Bro. Yeah, Fido Dido.
Yeah, and Jacket Potatoes. That's the right moment always. From now on, I will be.
I wonder who Fido Dido is based on. Remember the 7-Up mascot? Yeah. That guy with seven strands of hair.
And a surfboard.
Yeah. Has he got a high top or is he finning on top? What's going on with his trim?
He's got that Johnny Bravo hairstyle, innit?
But there was only seven strands.
They loved their hairstyle back then.
Yeah, man. All the characters had it.
Like, Doug's brethren.
Doug. No. The bully.
Scooter.
And the bully.
Oh, the bully had that trim as well.
Princess. Oh, what? Or Hey Arnold.
Someone had that trim in Hey Arnold as well.
What's his name? Roger, the bully from Doug.
Yeah.
Okay. Add it to the side.
Oh, there he is.
Yeah, it was a character created by Joanna Ferrone and Sue Rose.
Right.
In 1985, one of them Googled it on a napkin in a restaurant and then saw it, sold it on to Pepsi in 1987. Pepsi, of course, makes 7-Up, right?
Right.
They didn't get much popularity until the 90s when it was on... Yeah, it was on stationery, right?
Yeah.
Fido Dido
became stationery. Like a real... There was loads of merch.
I think I had a t-shirt.
Yeah, there were t-shirts, everything.
Wow.
Man like Fido Dido.
He made an appearance last year on some vintage series cans. Maybe that's one you had with your Jacket Potato. You didn't even look.
Yeah, fair play to them, man.
Nice. I am going to collect all my doodles on napkins and all yours and just... You never know when you want to sell
this
it on to Pepsi, right?
Just doodle on napkins in restaurants.
Never know.
Jelani, you've got a song called Go Low.
I do.
Which you would do if you're in the central line. It's the lowest, the deepest, isn't it? So that's what you're doing. But not on this game, because I've picked some artists and I've picked two of their songs that are on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know which one you think has gone lower out of the two and has got more thumbs down than thumbs up.
Okay.
Okay? So six artists. Okay. Write it down. No cheating, no looking at papers, Marcel. Yeah. Okay, so let's start with Run the Jewels. Step into the spotlight. Ooh. Legend has it. Don't get captured. Which one's got more thumbs down on YouTube? Legend has it, or Don't Get Captured. Okay, let's move on to it. Run DMC.
Oh, wow.
Hard. Some big songs here. Does Walk This Way or It's Tricky have more thumbs down on YouTube? I don't know why. Who is thumbs downing anyway?
Lovely Day has like 100,000 thumbs down.
Oh dear.
Who's listened to Lovely Day? And been like, oh, do you know what? Fuck that.
No, they're miserable people.
I reckon 99% of them are people that want to know what it feels like.
Yeah.
You know when you like drop a baby? Do you know what I mean?
What? Definitely don't drop a baby.
Do you know what I mean? Or when you think it, like, what would happen
you
if
just
I,
took it
what would happen if I pressed dislike on Bill Withers' Lovely Day?
I feel like you're saying drop a baby because you've been watching a lot of Anthony.
I think they're
Jessel
in the same fucking league, to be fair.
Okay.
When you think the things, innit? It's like, yeah, this
the
is the
thing
is the worst thing I could do in this situation is dislike this tune right now.
Yeah.
It's just like the worst thing you could do when you're holding a baby is drop it.
Okay. Well, which one has more dropped the baby on this one? Walk This Way or It's Tricky? Okay, let's move on to Massive Attack. And who would thumbs down on this song?
Yeah.
Furious, Unfinished Sympathy.
Someone who likes things finished.
Or Teardrop.
Oh,
both big songs from Massive Attack,
question.
Both great songs. Which one has more thumbs down though? Unfinished Sympathy or Teardrop? All done? Okay, let's move on to Grace Jones. More thumbs down. Is it for Slave to the Rhythm or Pull Up to the Bumper? No, again, none of these deserve thumbs down.
Yeah, true.
They should have a thing if it's that song that's that big a tune that it like notifies the police on you that you thumbs down it. and they come around to your house and take away your computer.
But they probably come down like they come down on those when they catch
the
a nonce. And just take you away and never, no one ever hears of you again.
They just come through your window, grab you. Yeah, that's what should happen if you thumbs down Grace Jones.
So good.
But some Basement Jacks. Or Where's Your Head At? Who got more thumbs down from Idiots? Let's go to Craig David.
This is still a tune.
Still a message tune.
Yeah. Come on. Ooh, what's better?
Oh, didn't it?
Oh,
well,
my
what's worse,
God.
It would be here. 7 days or Fill Me In. Who got more thumbs down on YouTube?
This is a hard game.
On that note, let's get some answers then. Jelani, what do you say for Run the Jewels? Was it Legend Has It or Don't Get Captured?
Don't Get Captured.
Okay, Marcel?
Don't Get Captured.
Michael Payne?
Don't Get Captured.
Well, you all were wrong. Don't Get Captured's got 1.1k for thumbs down, but Legend Has It's got 10k. However, Run DMC, Marcel, what did you put? Walk This
Tricky.
Way or It's Tricky?
Tricky.
Tricky?
Walk This Way.
And what did you get, Michael Payne?
Tricky.
Tricky is correct.
Oh, yeah.
Walk This Way had 11k, It's Tricky's got 13k of thumbs down. Michael, Massive Attack, I would finish Sympathy or Teardrop?
I went with Teardrop and I applied a bit of logic to this and I'll tell you after.
Jelani, what are you saying?
Unfinished Sympathy.
Okay, Marcel. It is Teardrop.
Yes!
10k to 6.9k for Unfinished Sympathy.
It worked.
What was the logic?
Teardrop's the newer song and that sounds dumb, but I just thought Unfinished Sympathy, only people who know that rhythm are going to look for that on YouTube.
That is good logic.
Do you get me? Yeah.
Grace Jones, what do you think, Jelani? Slave to the Rhythm or Pull Up to the Bumper?
Pull Up to the Bumper.
Okay, Marcel, what did you get?
Slave to the Rhythm.
Okay, what did you get, Michael Payne?
Slave to the Rhythm.
Point there for Jelani. But Pull Up to the Bumper with 898, and Slave to the Rhythm had 679.
This is a madness.
Like, Basement Jacks, what are you saying, Marcel?
Red Alert.
Red Alert, Jelani?
Where's Your Head At?
And what are you saying, Michael
Payne? Red Alert.
Point for Jelani there is
the biggest. It's a much bigger song.
Well, Red Alert only had 464, but it was 2.2K for Where's Your Head At? Craig David, Michael Payne.
7 days.
Okay.
7 days.
7 days.
7 days.
Yeah, points all round.
Yes,
there.
Craig.
Craig at 7 days, 2.5K. Fill Me In, 818, which means in second place is Marcel with two. In joint first place with three each is Jelani and Michael Payne.
Yeah.
A brace!
FUBAR Radio presents Tuesday Takeover.
Welcome to the Tuesday Takeover. My name is Cece Coleman. I am here with the lovely Gavin.
Hello, everybody.
We have Natasha.
Leggero.
And we have her husband.
Moshe Kasher.
I kind of got kidnapped on a date once.
Whoa.
Yeah. We met up for drinks and she'd had like a bottle and a half of wine already.
She was drunk.
Oh my God.
We ended up just like hanging out back at her new place. I spilt red wine on her brand spanking new sofa.
She could have beat your ass, Gavin.
Exactly. I actually did stay the night. I kept hearing her getting up to lock the doors and lock windows. I had this really horrible feeling that I was locked in.
Well, you were locked in.
Well, yeah.
The Tuesday Takeover. Every Tuesday from 4 p.m. FUBAR Radio.
Hello, darlings. Bunny Galore here, the queen of the cult movies, and welcome to Takeover Tuesday. I am so excited to be here. It's my favourite time of the year because it's nearly Halloween. Oh, darlings, I can feel a chill in the air. I want to snuggle up and watch a really scary movie. I hope you can come and join me. Today is a special day because I have one of my favourite people in the world here, Mr. Derek Elwood.
What a lovely intro. Thank you so much, Bunny. Hello, my darling.
Oh, it's so good to see you. Thank you very much for being here.
No, thank you.
On Takeover Tuesday.
Now, I am very excited because I was having a little sneaky peek.
Were you now?
At the running order and everybody who's coming along. And I was just wondering, Bunny, who is going to be appearing today?
Well, I'm so glad you asked, darling.
Absolutely.
So, to start with, we have a national treasure. The wonderful, the one, the only Miss Sally Lindsay. Welcome, Sally.
Hi, Bunny. Oh. So, I'm very honoured to be here.
Well, thank you so much. This is Derek, by the way.
Hello, Sally.
So, thank you so much for coming in. It's very exciting. Do you like Halloween?
Oh, I love Halloween. As you know, I've got two little boys.
Yes.
And Halloween's been their favourite thing to do over the years. So we've had, what have we had? Last year, one of my boys was an angry banana.
I remember the photograph.
An angry banana, which was just sublime. It was like the best. And he just had this really angry face in a banana outfit. quite frightening, actually.
It was. I remember seeing the photograph, and yeah. I didn't stop laughing for about 20 minutes because it was just, I love the train of thought that went through to make
it. What do you want to be? I want to be a really, really angry banana.
Oh.
Okay, love. So I made it happen. But we've had mummies, we've had Dracula, we've had Harry Potter, we've had... So that it's always been fun, you know, and doing the trick-or-treating, we do all that.
Yes, are you going to go trick-or-treating this year?
We are, we're going to go up to Manchester, that's where I'm from. Oh, yeah. And we're going to see their cousins, because their street, they get more stuff than our street.
Yeah.
So every year they've said, can we go and see Scarlett and Lexi, please, because their street's dead good and don't really do it and really go for it. And our street's really rubbish. So I said, I promise them this year, yes, you can go up to. So yes, it's very exciting. And I'm going to have a little sort of monster mash back at my brother's house. So it's all for the kids, really.
Amazing.
But I really do find it. I'm quite looking forward to the kids, when they get older, to actually go to a grown-up Halloween party, because that's never happened for me in the last
true.
Sort of
And I can't
nine
wait
years.
To take them to Tully's Farm, which is something I do with it. They do do a daytime children's thing, but because I've never been to that, I don't really know what it's like.
Yes.
But the evening one is brilliant, but they're a little bit young for it now.
Is it quite scary?
It's quite scary in the evening. Having said that, I think Louis would actually be fine. Vic and Louis are the names of the boys.
So one of my twins, for the listeners, he's obsessed with horror films. So I think he's going to be Bonnie when he grows up.
Hooray!
Yeah, in lots of ways.
Hooray!
He's obsessed. I've got this book, and many hundreds of years ago, I did a show called Loose Women, and John Landis came in, and he gave me this book. Yeah, I signed it, this book, and it was all the greatest horror.
You need
to see it, actually, Bonnie.
Yeah, yeah.
All the greatest horror characters that have ever been in film.
Oh, that's...
And that must have been, I left about 5 years ago, so they must have been about four. And I left it out, and Louis was just going through it very gently. He thought it was fantastic.
Amazing.
And every day he says, can I see it? Can I see it? Can I see it? And I go, no, no.
Oh.
I just think, because it's the posters, it's the surrounding.
Yeah.
He just thinks it's the clown. He just thinks it's... Oh,
there's something about it. Now, there's I really get that, and I think that's what started me was actually those sort of books, because we're all kind of... You're actually the youngest one in the room here, Sally, but we're of a certain age. toss. But we all kind of grew up in the same kind of 70s
Ooh,
into 80s
yeah,
era,
yeah.
And where you couldn't, you know, VHS and probably was just about to start.
Beginning.
But a lot of the horror stuff I would see on BBC Two and Channel Four with the Hammer horror seasons and the Universal seasons. But then I would buy those sort of books.
Yes.
And I would, and there's something so evocative about the photographs from those movies. And actually, when you watch the movies now, we can see it. It's a bit cheesy because you can see all the workings of it all and the edges of the prosthetics and stuff. But there's just something really evocative about those photographs in the book.
I'm obsessed with Hammer.
Yes.
I love that. And I said to Steve tonight, when I get in from work, can we watch a Hammer and have a glass of red wine and put the fire?
There's nothing better. Do you have a favourite Hammer horror?
Do you know what? There's one I work with. I can't remember what it's called. I'm so annoyed.
Oh, okay, maybe.
But it's about... Stephanie Beecham was in it.
Oh, Screaming...
Now the Screaming Starts.
Hand.
Oh, it's amazing.
Ooh. It's mainly featuring Stephanie Beecham's heaving bosoms for the whole way through. And it's that famous house. It's the house from Rocky Horror. And it's the house... Yeah, it's the one that's... And weirdly, in that film, it's the only time you realise there's a river right by the house.
We filmed Still Open All Hours there, you see.
Ah,
so
did
before
you?
And Pinewood. So before the end of last season, which was August when we finished, I took the boys to see round Pinewood set. They were filming Bond at the time. So we got sort of a glimpse of it and the water set, because actually everybody's just waiting for something to happen. So they were quite happy to show us round, you know.
Oh.
They were like, because that's all you do on a film set, is a tang about for a shot, you know.
Yeah.
And so everybody was absolutely lovely, like quite excited. Oh, yes, this is this, and I've made this. And the boys were just overwhelmed. But then I told them about the house.
Yes, I can't remember the name of
the house. Because you filmed Bake Off there, which obviously I did as well.
Oh, yes, of course you did.
And the river. And there's also a secret cave there that not many people know about. That
there's a secret cave.
There's a secret cave. I mean, I've got pictures of it. I'll show you. It's
Please,
phenomenal.
Yes.
But yeah, I just absolutely love it. But the reason why I love that film particularly is in Still Open All Hours is an actor called Jeffrey Whitehead.
Right, yes.
So he's in Jeffrey Whitehead. He's also in Not Going Out. He plays Lee Mack's dad. He's a very, very famous actor.
Yes,
but you see him now, he's in, he's 80, he's extremely tall, he's got grey hair. So back then, he was this unbelievably stunning. He's of 6'4" and he's got this long blonde hair.
Oh, the blonde, yeah.
And he was the henchman in there. In the, and so he said, I did a Hammer once. Yes, I had to sort of... yes, it was rather distasteful. I had to take Stephanie Beecham with one arm.
I had such a crush on him.
Okay,
he's, I just remember I had a crush on him. I think when I first saw that movie.
Well, what I did on the last day, I got it up on YouTube, and we all forced him to watch it. And it was hysterical, and he was like, it's awful, isn't it? I know, it's absolutely brilliant.
There's quite a few good jump scares in there as well. There was that spate of the severed hands chasing you around, a bit like the one from the Addams Family, but in a scary way. There's a Michael Caine film. Don't know what that one's called. Is it called The Hand?
It's called The Hand. I remember because it scratched on the ceiling. I remember watching that in the 70s and being absolutely petrified. It was scratching on the ceiling.
Oh, gosh.
In the loft.
Yes,
and I remember
is that the one? Yeah,
and I remember going upstairs into my grand's loft, because it was a tiny terraced house. And you'd have to walk past the loft stairs, and I used to go, so I thought, there's his hand scratching at me. We let kids watch anything those days.
Absolutely.
Very true. I think, but the general... ambience of the 70s was absolutely terrifying. It was basically Hammer horror at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, but about the blood and the sex. It literally would be terrifying.
Well, the kids' TV was.
Oh my god!
Do you follow that Twitter feed, Scarred for Life?
Yes, I do. I do.
It's absolutely.
No, I don't. I don't. What is it? What is it?
Scarred for Life. It's all the stuff we used to watch in the 70s, and you watch it back and go, "This is unbelievably inappropriate."
Yeah. Yes.
How could we as? There was one about a nun with no face in a rocking chair.
Yes, I remember that.
That was an armchair thriller.
Yes.
That was an armchair thriller. It was absolutely brilliant, and that was 1:30 in the afternoon.
Yeah.